Organizations, at least the ones that want to succeed, frequently take a look at what they do and how they do it to tweak processes and people to achieve greater success. Today's guest is often part of that process, and he raises many questions about just what it is that makes some organizations successful, while very similar organizations do not meet with the same success. The comparisons are made in Shubhir Chowdhury's book, The Difference, When Good Enough Isn't Enough. Shubhir Chowdhury is highly in demand as a management consultant. He works with Fortune 500 companies to improve operations, processes, quality, and performance, and save them money, too. His previous books include The Power of Six Sigma and The Ice Cream Maker. Shubhir Chowdhury, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for featuring me.
And I should point out that organizations can be everything from governments to nonprofits here. And you actually begin with the water crisis in Flint in your very first sentence. What do you see as the failure there?
Failure there is what I call it as a much more like a caring mindset. You know, that's what the book tried to address. That, you know, a lot of the time we become too much of process focused, and we don't think about at the end of the day the people are the one who are behind the process, right? So a lot of the time, you know, in the Flint situation, is basically they have initially the right intent, but at what cost? You know, that so they wanted to save some money, and by saving the money, they created the mess that ultimately that impacted very wrongfully to the children and the people of Flint, you know? So, and it's not just over there, you know, and let me tell you, you know, I have been a process improvement consultant. I have been helping all types of organizations. I'm sure you heard of Six Sigma, you know, one of the major process improvement touted mm-hmm. by Jack Welch, right? And literally saved billions of dollars. And then after saving all this money, 2 years or like around maybe 5 years ago, I hit a wall. And the wall is why the similar type of size of companies of the similar industry, suppose for the sake of discussion, both hired me as a consultant using my process, and one is getting 100x return, another one is getting 5x return. And what is the difference? What is the reason that happened? And what I found out that initially what I thought, maybe our processes are flawed, maybe we are not good teachers, you know, so we kind of blame ourselves first. And then what we felt that, no, maybe, you know, let us study those organizations. So last 5 years, I've been studying tiny little company, government, non-government, like Fortune 100 companies, all types of organizations. And what I find out is that some organization, people, have the company which is getting 100x return, they kind of got lucky because some of the people in the organizational culture is that they are very much, you know, having the caring mindset, and what I call it is a caring mindset, and the other company doesn't have that it at all level. Now, so then the question comes to what is caring mindset, you know, so I have been studying what are the people's qualities. And I came up with the four qualities which I defined as a caring mindset, that any individual at any level in an organization or at home or at community or in government, you can really make a huge impact if you have these four qualities. And the acronym is STAR, S-T-A-R. And a STAR stands for straightforward, thoughtful, accountable, and resolved. So if any one of us, and if you really take those four words, if you really think about it, anyone, one of your listeners at any position can really practice all four of them. The question would be, do they truly have that mindset to practice? If they feel that, yes, I can make a difference. What I'm really trying to promote is any one of us at any individual level, we can make a difference. The question is that how badly we wanted to make the difference of anything we do, either at home or at workplace. And so to do that, what are the, you know, attributes we must have? And those are the four attributes I talked about.
So how do you inspire then the people who are listening to this and thinking, well, that sounds great, but my job's not so critical?
See, that is the thing. The question is that when you are working for an organization, every job is critical. Otherwise, that position should not be there. So think about this way. When the Volkswagen, this 11 million, that whole, the software, installing the software in 11 million diesel cars, deliberately, they are putting a wrong software. Think about it. They are just trying to manipulate the data. Now, somebody in the engineer level knew about it, right? Their job is important, and they have done the job because their boss told them to do so, and they designed that program that way. So any job is important. Otherwise, that job should not be existing. The question what you have to ask is that, okay, I may not able to, traditionally what I find, people felt, hey, look, my job is so low level, I cannot make a difference. And that is the part where my book is trying to teach, saying that, no, you can make a difference. So let me give you an example. I recently came into one of the restroom in Detroit Metro Airport.
I love this story, yeah.
Right? In a Detroit Metro Airport, and I found it is one of the largest, you know, restroom, men's restroom, and it is completely clean. Looks like a five-star hotel lobby. Not even one drop of water comes out, immediately it's got clean. So then I was noticing who is behind it. Then I found a gentleman, and I went to him and I told him, I said, hey, you know, every 5 seconds, if there is a drop there, immediately, you know, water drop, you immediately clean it. He said, sir, that is my job. This restroom is in charge, you know. I wanted to make a difference, right? And that's what, because customer like you, when you travel, now you are happy. When you are using your restroom, you go out, you're happy, you know?
And as you pointed out, it's a big difference from some of the other restrooms that you found also at the Detroit Metropolitan Airport. We have to take a short break.
Right.
We'll come back and talk more with Shabir Chowdhury about the difference when good enough isn't enough, how corporations, organizations, nonprofits, you name it, end up different from one another. And it's about what he calls this caring mindset that exists in some places and doesn't in the others. We'll come back to the acronym STAR for Straightforward, Thoughtful, Accountable, and Resolve when we come back to the discussion with Shabir Chowdhury and you on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is management consultant Shabir Chowdhury, who has been working at this for a long time with Fortune 500 companies and others to improve everything from top to bottom, just to make more efficient and more productive organizations. He's put his ideas together in a new book called The Difference When Good Enough Isn't Enough, Why Some Organizations Thrive and Some Don't Thrive as Much. What is the difference? That's what he's getting to. And it comes to a caring mindset, he says. We'll learn more about that with you, and you can join us with questions and comments at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So this really does get to a very, very small level. I mean, just not just caring about, you know, long-term vision for an organization, but things like toothpicks on floor. So what is the tale of the toothpick that you have here, Shabir?
So that is a true story. One time, one of my clients is a Fortune 100 company's vice president of quality, and I had a meeting with him at 8 a.m. in the morning. And as soon as I walked into his office, first thing, and I kind of felt him, he's completely, you know, down and looking at me. And the first question he asked me is saying that, Shabir, what do you do after you use toothpick? I said, Steve, what kind of question is that? And he said, Shabir, no, I want an answer. I said, no, let's talk about it. I said, look, is your boss is very upset, hammered you because the J.D. Power report came out and he didn't, you know, their organization didn't do that well. It is an automotive client. And he said, no, just give me the answer first and I'm going to tell you. I said, okay. I said, hey, look, you know, if I use a toothpick, after I use it, I put it in the dustbin. I said, look, I asked the same question to my secretary, to my direct reports. Everybody told me the same thing in the morning that they put it in the, and here I am. Today morning, I had a meeting at 6 o'clock with my CEO. As soon as I coming out of his office, and he was very upset about our J.D. Power results and everything, and what I found out, a toothpick in front of his office, a used toothpick. And so I kind of looked, I said, okay, so he looked at me and he said, Shabir, look, it has nothing to do with the process. Because we have been teaching this process for so long, and you guys are helping us. You save billions of dollars. And the reason our J.D. Power results are coming that bad, because there might be thousands of toothpicks in all level in the organization. So think about this. A executive going to the CEO, normally most of the time executives normally go to the meeting with the CEOs. Some executive got really upset or whatever, and maybe he put the toothpick on the floor. So, and it is a metaphorically he talked about that, but it is the very profound issue. Then what we felt and what the discussion was, and that was the time, in fact, I was conceiving the idea to write about this new book, The Difference, is because that his point is that unless the people have the mindset, irrespective of how much process you teach, they can do it and solve one or two problems, but if they don't care, if they don't have the caring mindset, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it will fall through, and that's what's happening to that company. So, and that is the reason I use that analogy, because it is a very, you know, so our whole, the whole deployment there to discuss to the people saying that, okay, how each of us can become individual responsibility that, hey, what can I do? How can I develop practice caring mindset? See, we are in a society now, everything is somebody else's fault. That is the way we are now. Our culture are becoming. So if any problem happens, it's not my problem, somebody else's problem. Look at the political system in America right now. Anything, you know, Obama's time, Republicans were saying everything is Obama's fault, right, or Democratic Party's fault. Now, Trump is there, now it is just opposite, right? We cannot, and at the end of the day, who is suffering? Our nation is suffering. America is suffering, right? So how, what we have to figure it out, saying that, no, I'm in a position, what can I do, right? Not somebody else do. And change has started me. And if you have that type of mindset, then I feel the results you'll receive from the process improvement would be amazing. That's what I'm talking about, why that company got 100x return versus the other companies getting 5x. Because after one project, the 5x company felt, hey, I checked the box, my boss told me to attend this class, use this process, I used it, who cares? But the other company said, oh my God, these tools are so good. I already used these techniques and I saved them. I don't care if there is another. I can find other project. I can do it myself and I can apply these techniques. And that's what happened. Majority of the people, they use these techniques over and over and over and to solve that problem. And that is the cultural issue I'm talking about in the book. So I talk about the straightforwardness. So think about a straightforwardness. You know, when you are straightforward, I feel you then respect and seek the truth. And no matter how difficult it may be to hear. Think about what you will lose when you or the people around you seek the easy way out because you are afraid to be straightforward. See, and the problem is that, you know, in fact, in the book I talked about, and you read it, you know, in the book I talked about a gentleman of a Fortune 100 company, chief purchasing officer, was asking me in his deathbed, saying that, and at the age of 52, he suddenly diagnosed with a cancer and died within 6 months. And you know, at the end of his life, and I knew the guy for, you know, for 15 years, and he's asking me, Shabir, can you teach me how to earn forgiveness from people? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, Shabir, you know that the reason I became the chief purchasing officer of the company from a middle manager level, because with other people's cost, I was brutal, I was tough, I did anything at any cost to achieve that position. And here I am. Ultimately, what happened at the age of 52, I'm dying. So last 6 months of his life, he reached out to every individual who he used to work for, who quit because of his toughness and because of his rudeness and because of his penalizing them and taking all the credit for himself. Now he's reaching out to them in his deathbed and asking them their forgiveness, you know. And that's what, so I really wonder if he became, led a straightforward life from the day one, you know, for, he might have been contributed much more to the society and his organization.
And he's still got a lot of respect as an executive, you point out in the book, but how much more effective might he have been if he had been straightforward?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, right?
All right, we're talking to Shabir Chowdhury about his book, The Difference When Good Enough Isn't Enough. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. The difference in this case is organizations. How come one thrives and another one just kind of bumps along? What is the difference? And he says it's a caring mindset with the acronym STRAIGHTFORWARD. Thoughtful, accountable, resolve, standing for STAR. Here's a call from Gail and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Shabir Chowdhury.
Thank you, Dr. Chowdhury. I'm very appreciative of this information about your STAR plan. And I also would like to share with you another word that drives me, which is the word beauty, because it has a caring quality that brings me to the creation of something past resolve, and that is a creation of beauty. And it involves caring and thoughtfulness. And I find it very much a guide for my own life.
Wonderful.
So thank you
and
very
see,
much.
See, the thing is that, oh, thank you so much for your kind words. But let me tell you that even when you start the word beauty itself, is a very positive thinking. So every single day when we wake up, we have a, you know, when you are brushing our teeth, we have to, we look in front, in the mirror, we are looking at our own reflection, and we are looking at our own self. That is the time you pause and ask the question, how can I make a difference today? Today, not for about tomorrow, today, to anybody. And it might start at your home, because you can give a hug, you know, like to your loved ones, right? So if you really think about that perspective and saying that how we I can make a difference, not anybody else, because the sad part about in our society now is that there is, we are bombarded with so much of negativity. You open a television, negative. You open, you know, something in the newspaper, negative, right? There is so much of negativity. How you find the positive? The argument I'm making is if you really wanted to, you can. You can. Because there's lots of positivity out there, and it is your mindset. And rather than blaming somebody, you try to feel. So the one thing I really love about what you said about the word beauty, that itself is a very positive word, right?
It truly is,
so
isn't
if
it?
If you have that mindset, you know.
So the idea being that you're not talking about I'll make a contribution tomorrow, I'll make a contribution today. And again,
yes.
It doesn't just have to be in the organization. There's a story in here where you told the CEO, and this is the same company with the toothpick story, but you told the CEO to call his daughters. Why?
Yes. Think about this. You know, I went to the CEO, met with him, and I asked the guy, I said, you know, and he hired me for a multi-million-dollar contract and improving quality. So the first thing I asked him, I said, okay, I understand that and this much of money I have to save him and everything. I said, I understand. Did you read the book? And it is not the difference book. It's my previous book called The Ice Cream Maker. And he said, yes. So I said, so I have a question for you, because I talked about in my book is about the listening to the customer. And customer means internal customer. And internal customer is your family members, your loved ones. So I said, did you get the message of my book? He said, of course. I said, okay, how many children you have? And he looked at it, he said, Shubhir, look, I'm paying you top dollars. I don't want to talk about my personal life. I said, sir, I'm your teacher. When I ask a question, you shut up and answer, okay? And if you don't have an answer, you tell me a straight cut, right? But don't interrupt. I ask you a question. Is everything related to quality? He said, Shubhir, I don't want to talk about my family. I said, no, because I told you it is the internal customer. I said, how about this? Today's session, no charge. No fee. You don't have to pay me any fee. Free. Can you please answer my question? He said, sure. He said, I have two daughters. I said, okay, what they do? Okay, one lives in Los Angeles, another lives in New York. I said, okay, when is the last time you spoke to them? And he said, Shubhir, why are you irritating? What do you mean by that? How it is related to my business? I said, it's everything to do with the business. When is the last time you spoke to them? And he looked at me and he said, Shubhir, I don't recall. Because it might be 6 months or 7 months ago, because I've been so busy with my work. I'm a Fortune 500 CEO, blah, blah, blah. I said, do you know what? My session is done. You just call your two daughters. And just, he said, what do you want me to talk to them about? I said, just tell them. I said, you're a father. You just tell them you love them. I said, I didn't need to teach you what to talk to them. I said, you just be yourself. I said, look, now you have 55 minutes. You have a 1 hour session with me. I only took 5 minutes of your time. You cannot tell me they are not, you know, right now they are not available. None of that. 55 minutes time you have. You call them. I said, thank you very much. I'm out. So I left. Then I got a call from him at 11 p.m. at night, okay, and told me he's having a dinner with both the daughters. And 2 weeks later, when I met with him, he said, Shubhir, you gave my daughter back. Think about that part. I didn't do any daughter back. The thing is, he is so busy with his work, he forgot about that his major strength come from his family. He forgot about them. And I think we as an individual, when I'm talking about this STAR principle, it is not that I want the people to just practice at you know, office. No, it should be, you know, we cannot be just turned on and off. We are not a different person at home versus office. We are the same person. So those those caring mindsets should start also at home. You know, nowadays, one of the things I'm really afraid of, especially the social media generation, they are so much stuck with your device. They are not reaching out to their grandparents. They are not talking to their parents as much, right? They are continuously tweeting and doing into this all these gadgets. But the sad part is that majority of the best advice come from your loved ones. When you are in deep trouble, that is the people who will be coming in. When I, you know, after finishing the manuscript, one of the chief operating officer of a Fortune 100 company met with me, wants to talk about my book, The Difference, after I read the manuscript. So I showed up, and so I said, okay, did you learn anything about it? I said, okay, the book is good, that's fine, but are you practicing in one or two points I mentioned in the book? He said, I hope so. I said, okay, do you want me to take a test? He said, yes. So I said, okay, did you recently have a vacation? And he said, yes, in fact, 2 weeks ago, I had a fantastic vacation. And then what happened, Jeff, is he talked with me for 15 minutes nonstop about his vacation. That means he needed the vacation badly and had a great time. Then I asked the second question I asked him. I said, sir, out of 1 hour of my time, you already spent 15 minutes explaining and giving me positive energy about your vacation. Good for you. Fantastic. But I have a question for you. Did you spend even 2 minutes of this about your vacation and positive energy of the vacation, explaining your vacation to your direct reports? He looked at me. He said, Shabir, that is not our culture. We are a big corporation. We don't do that. So I said, okay, if that is the case, suppose a month from today you suddenly die, and I'm in a consulting engagement in Los Angeles. Do you think that I'll take the flight and come to Detroit to attend your funeral? May not. But let me ask you this. Do you think that all of your direct reports will go to your funeral? And he said, yes. I said, now you are giving me the positive energy, whereas I'm not making you successful. And the people who are working day and night, year after year, working for you, making you more successful, and you are not, and you are recognizing them, they will come to your funeral, not me. And you are not giving them the positive energy. What is that is all about? You missed the point of my book. And he was so shaken up, Jeff. He said, no, you are right. You are right. So I also, right now, believe it or not, I was telling a lot of my clients, very senior level leadership, forcing them to call their grandparents, to call their parents, sharing my grandfather's story to them, right? And they are so grateful coming back to me and saying, oh my God, Shabir, you're so right. So I think we are becoming, you know, too much. You know, we a lot of the time we forget about our strength come from our family, our loved ones, our friends, our community. You know, if I see my next door neighbor is in trouble, I have to be thoughtful. I have to be. I cannot just ignore him or her, right? That is the point I was trying to make. That thoughtfulness, anybody, see, it's not like you are writing a check to them. Just to put your hand and say, is there anything I can do for you? That's it.
That is the caring mindset that is the center of Shabir Chowdhury's book, The Difference, When Good Enough Isn't Enough. Here's another call from Rika in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
That was a wonderful story about the toothpick. And it just illustrates a point I've been trying to make. That if the boss doesn't care about the toothpicks on the floor, neither will the employees, and they won't care about their work either.
Yes.
You know, yes. And it goes for not just for businesses, but for cities, for
yes.
neighborhoods.
Yes.
If the police don't care about litter and weeds, then the people won't care about them either, and they
yes.
just let it go.
Yes.
All right,
and that's what I'm trying to really promote, that, you know, that's why I talk about that when good enough is not enough, right? It is a kind of I kind of felt last 20 years, because I came in America in 1991, right? And I've been seeing the degradation of this, you know, in America, in our society. And it is sad, and kind of I wanted to kind of step up and saying that, and the application is in everywhere. It's not just in organization. As you mentioned that, yes, you know, if our police doesn't do that in our society, yes, you know, citizens will not do that either. And you mentioned about the police, you'll have a big kick out of this one. My book came out on this 21st of February, on Tuesday. So I still, even though on my busy schedule or whatever, but I still try my level best to drop my children to their school, right, as much as possible. Whenever I'm at home, I always try to make that happen. So when I was dropping the school on the book launching day, my daughter kind of asked me, saying that, "Dad, who will receive the first autographed copy of the book?" she asked me. And the time she asked the question, there is a police officer, when you go there, because you know LA traffic is very bad, on their school community during the school hours, like especially at the beginning of the hour and the end of the hour, there is a police officer always a stand. It doesn't matter even if it rains, if it is, whatever it is, he's always there. So I told my daughter, I said, "I'm going to give that book to the police officer." He said, "Dad, you will?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" Then she asked me, she said, "Why?" I said, "Because he's making a difference every single day during the weekdays when your school is open, isn't it? During the rainy time, is he standing there?" She said, "Yes." So guess what I did when I'm leaving, after dropping my kids, when I was leaving, I stopped there, gave the police officer a hug and gave a first autographed copy of The Difference to him.
The Difference.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was not planned for nothing, right? See, it's all about, you have to practice them.
All right,
you know?
We have to go. Subir Chowdhury, we'll take a break. The book is called The Difference, When Good Enough Isn't Enough. Back with Shubir, and you in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're continuing our conversation with Shubir Chowdhury, who is a highly in-demand management consultant, works with a lot of companies to improve operations, processes, quality, and performance. And he's written a book that looks at the differences between organizations. Why does one do really well and a similar one doesn't do so well? The book is called The Difference, When Good Enough Isn't Enough. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about his STAR acronym for straightforward, thoughtful, accountable, and resolve, all leading up to a caring mindset. Join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to move on to thoughtful. We talked about straightforward a bit, but thoughtful is a two-step process. You say listening first. You spend a lot of time, it sounds like, just listening to the concerns of people at the companies you work with.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what, you know, I think we normally, even though we have 2 ears and only one mouth, but we still tend to listen less and talk more, right? So you know, I kind of felt that, and listening means it's not just only listen, it's also observe. So, you know, the question I have is that, do you really get out of from your behind your desk and walk around the corridors and the floors and looking at everywhere and going there and trying to listen to the other people, right? So once is the listening part is very important to being a thoughtful, and the second, because if you don't recognize the problem, then you cannot be thoughtful. Your action of thoughtfulness will not come. And the other thing I talk about, the empathy, you know. Empathy, you know, I think it's so critical, even though it is not only at home, I'm talking about empathy, but also in the workplace, I kind of see this missing, especially, you know, working with all types of organization, I kind of see that it's kind of missing. It's much more like we are in a hurry all the time. We are, because as I said, it's so much of distracted by all these different gadgets we have, right? So the empathy piece is continuously kind of decreasing in America. I kind of, American organization, all type. And, but it's still, you know, like I have one time in a physician, you know, did a back surgery on my, one of my friends' wife. And during the surgery, that he knows that, you know, obviously the patient is completely out, but he knows the loved ones are literally waiting for the news, how the surgery went, for the news. And he's always conscious about that. So guess what happened? As soon as he is, still on the surgery, he told one of the nurses during the surgery, saying that, "Can you please go out and tell the husband that I can see the pain of his wife already went away. I can see it because it's a nerve issue. So this nerve is already floating. It's not a pinched nerve anymore." And then he went, and then the nurse just said that, "Hey, it will take another 45 minutes to an hour before he wraps it up. But doctor wants me to communicate. He can see that your wife's pain is went away, and she'll be fine, and the operation is successful." So she won. So then my friend, a little bit worried, saying that, "Wow, you know, why the doctors take the time and to do that in the middle of the surgery?" So he went later on, talked with the doctor and asked the question that, "Sir, why you did that? And do you do that because I'm a good friend of yours? That's why?" He said, "Nope, I do it for every patient, because when my patients are all out and I'm a neurosurgeon, I do a lot of big brain surgery. Some of the surgery might be, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours. I don't want that other, you know, the family members to be worried about it. So think about the empathy of that. So when I finally met with this physician and I talked with him and I asked him the question, I said, sir, when you received your medical degree, does the medical degree literally talk about this? He said, no. I said, so nobody teach. I said, sir, can you please do me a favor? Now you're a senior surgeon. Can you teach this element of yourself to your next generation, to the young physician? Because unfortunately, they are not. I have another, you know, one time I was in a hospital, and every time the nurse comes in, even if I'm asleep or not, if she sees a glass of water, right, she immediately, first thing she does is that she immediately changes that glass and wash it, bring another glass of water, even if the glass is full. Why? So I asked her, why you do that? He said, sir, majority of the people who get infected, the infection happened because of this glass of water. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, so my job is, anytime I go to anywhere, as soon as it is there, I immediately wash it, change it, again I put that in. So I asked, I said, unfortunately, a lot of the other nurses don't do that. Why you do that? And she looked at me, and she said, look, that is my job. I wanted to make sure none of my patients has any infection, because if that happened in my time, it bothers me. So think about her empathy. It's not that she's making extra money because of that. And the reason I'm just pointing this out, it is each of our responsibility. It is each of our, you know, first of all, we have to realize that each of us as an individual, irrespective of our position in an organization, we can make a difference. Each of us can make a difference. Once you have that mindset, then you'll be surprised how much difference you can make.
So this leads us straight from the thoughtful part of the STAR acronym, straightforward, thoughtful, accountable, receive, into the accountable part. So the nurse in this example, by being thoughtful, was also being accountable and making sure that that things didn't go wrong on her watch, which ultimately brings us back around, I think, to the toothpick example. You know, the CEO or the manager, he was not the CEO, but the manager concerned about the toothpick left on the floor. This becomes almost like a Zen thing. I mean, who should pick it up? Should it be the CEO? Should it be an underling? Should it be anybody who passes it?
Anybody who passes it. Anybody. First of all, the person, he should not have been done that in the first place, whoever threw that. But anyway, but even if it is, if any problem happened in front of you, you just step up. It doesn't matter what your position is. You know, see, I always use, even accountability is a personal responsibility, right? Taking the personal responsibility in your own hand. So I love a quote by Mother Teresa. She used to say, do not wait for leaders, do it alone. Think about it. Do not wait for leaders. Do it alone. That's what she did all of her life. And she, on the process, she became a leader, right? So, and without any background, think about that, you know? Think about her. It's not that she went and nurtured by somebody or somebody taught her how to do nothing. She saw a problem on the spot. She saved millions of lives in Calcutta, street of Calcutta, right? So she saw something that dying people, nobody cared for, and she literally bring them over, and she didn't care if they're Muslim, Hindu, or Christian, doesn't matter. She tried to save that life, right? So, and so that means, and on the process, rest is history, that she became the Mother Teresa, right? And I think, even believe it or not, even today, with all the religious hatred and everything is going on around the world, that is the one place if you go, if you ever visit in Calcutta, Mother Teresa's tomb, you will find every single religious person, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, everybody is literally praying in front of the tomb. It's amazing, right? And the reason is that because she, anything she has done, if she, it came in her belief, that she always take the personal responsibility for it. So I can give you, you know, like think about, I kind of felt that accountability comes to five things, okay? Five steps. First of all, is being aware that something needs to be done. You to recognize that something needs to be done. Then number two is taking the personal responsibility. Even if you know that it is somebody else's, like as you ask the question, who should pick the toothpick? No, you work for that organization. You should pick it up if it is in front of you. What is wrong with it? Right? And then the third thing is making a choice of decision to act. If you think that, okay, oh, it's not my problem, why I have to? No. You think that because your paycheck is coming from that organization. So you make a difference. And once you make a difference, once you take a decision to act, guess what? Somebody else will follow you. And that is the way the other people's behavior will change. Obviously, I expect the leaders to do that. Like, in fact, one of the client I told recently, you know, they read the book and all this stuff, and I met with that. I said, look, first of all, you guys as a leadership, I don't think you have the courage to, you know, to even practice this four qualities I talked about. If you don't become a straightforward, just distributing thousands of copies of my book will not help you. I said, I'll sell some books, but it will not help you. The question is that, are you executing those ideas? Are you taking that? So any of your listener, if they feel that, okay, what Shabir is talking about, I should, as a listener, that I should take the accountability on my own hand, and I will make a difference, and I have the power to make a difference, they will find a lot of things. And so, again, you have to make the decision to act. And the next step is thinking deeply about the potential consequence of that choice, either positive or negative. And the last thing is the setting the high expectation. I don't think a lot of the time we feel as a human being, based on our position or whatever, we may not have as much as high expectation of our own self. And that is the problem, own self. So, and I give you a phenomenal example about the, you know, about a 13-year-old girl. Her name is Trisha Prabhu. She's from Chicago. In 2013, a 13-year-old girl from Illinois, that, you know, her name is Trisha, and Trisha suddenly read in the article that a 11-year-old Florida girl was bullied by the classmate and through the internet, and she committed suicide. So when Trisha read that article, she was thinking, what can I do? I'm one of her age. It could have been done to happen to me. And what can I do to stop? So then she started the researching. She came in, she started research on her own. And then what she found out, that adolescents, that if you kind of, before they act on something, if you give them a stop, if you just put them something in front of them, they may not do it, right? So she came up with an app called Rethink. It's an app called Rethink. And after, so what the Rethink does, that gives, anytime you are writing something, if you have that app, the app automatically figure it out what kind of language you are using, and then automatically says, are you sure you want to post it? It might hurt somebody else's feeling. Are you sure? Guess what happened? 93% of the adolescents who use this app decided not to post the hurtful message after they had the opportunity to rethink.
Wow, and I'm looking at the site, rethinkwords.com is the website. It's a really fascinating kind of thing.
Think about it. Now, she made that, she thought about that incident, and she thought, what can I do? And that's it. Rest is history. Think about that. A 13-year-old girl.
Wow.
So if she can do it, she doesn't have any stripe. If she can do that and change the society in a positive direction like that, why not somebody else? Anybody can make a difference. That is the argument I'm trying to make on this book.
So I want to get into the final segment here, Resolve, which is the R in the STAR acronym for the Caring Mindset, Straightforward, Thoughtful, Accountable, Resolve. And one of the things you point out, seems like several times through the book, is the fact that you find organizations that are resistant to change, but on the other hand, you do find some that embrace change. I mean, when you make a resolve to make a difference, to make the difference, I guess, here we go with the book title again, but do you sometimes end up changing away from things that have worked and therefore create things that you then need to change or maybe even change back later?
Yes. So think about that. Resolve, the way I said it, when you have a resolve as an individual, you have a resolve, you commit to making a change happen regardless of how difficult the challenge is. And resolve means that you need to have the passion and determination and perseverance to find a solution to a problem or improve the situation, even if that requires the humility and the willing to change. Like, think about it this way. You know, last time you were faced with a dilemma, that did you do everything possible to solve the problem? Think about that. You know, is there anything else you might have been done? Is there anything, you know, more you can still do? So you know, and we face, all of us face challenges. Like, for an example, when I first came to America, in fact, in the book I talked about it, you know, as soon as I came in, and my first big bombshell I got the news is, my supervisor told me that, you know, this is the first day of my in America, right? I went to the, you know, college and my, as a graduate student, and he told me to, my professor told me to come 2 weeks early. I came 2 weeks early, and he said I'll have got a scholarship. And the first thing he said that, sorry, you know, it was already given to somebody else last week. So now I said, sir, you cannot do that to me. I said, you told me because I came 2 weeks early. Why? And he said, hey, look, it doesn't matter. It will not. So I don't know how to handle that and tackle that. I didn't have any money. I went to a bank. I was $200 shortage and all this stuff. But then what I did, I didn't give up. What I did, I went to every single department of the university and trying to pitch that. And that was the first day in America. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Came from a different culture. Then guess what happened? After 2 days of going to every single department, suddenly after 23rd or 24th department, mathematics department chair met with me, understand my passion, understand the needs of it, and then introduce me another faculty. And long story short, I end up with getting a big fellowship from Dow Chemical, and that paid for my whole master's degree education. Think about it. Even on the first week of landing in America, with a completely different culture. I didn't have any family members, nobody. I was the first guy ever from my parents, both parents' side, came to America, right? In 1991. Faced that problem, and it's still how I resolved that. Because I have the resolve, and that's what I believe.
Truly, you know? came from Bangladesh in 1991, we should point out. Shubhir Chowdhury has been busy for a long time letting the rest of the world know about how they can improve their processes and their businesses. His latest book is called The Difference, When Good Enough Isn't Enough. Shubhir, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, too. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.